supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
With increasing precision, astronomers are training their telescopes on planets orbiting stars far beyond our solar system and galaxy. But the ultimate prize, discovering conditions suitable for sustainability, remains elusive. Joining me on this episode of Sky Talk is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, hopes were recently raised about an Earth-like planet. Just how Earth-like is it?
Well, it seemed to be about two times the size of our planet. And the reason why it was described as Earth-like is because observers could detect an atmosphere that seemed to have liquid water that might be in an atmosphere of a pressure where that water might exist as a liquid and where it might have been falling as in a form of precipitation.
So this one was about twice the size of Earth. Does size matter?
It does. It matters dramatically. It matters because if the planet is not massive enough, that means that it doesn't have enough gravitational attraction to hold an atmosphere that would be heavy enough to have water in it. And if the planet is too massive, then it's much bigger than planet Earth is, and that's not like Earth either.
Is it supposed that that's what happened to Mars once upon a time?
Well, in fact, we clearly understand now that in the early history of Mars, it was much warmer and much wetter than we find it today. We know for sure that there were large bodies of liquid water on Mars. But now there's no water to be found on the surface of Mars at all. What happened to it? We have a very clear understanding that Mars is too small, not massive enough to generate the gravitational field needed to hold an atmosphere like Earth has, so that there can exist a water cycle on the planet for a long period of time.
So mass matters. What's another variable?
So one of the other things that matters is the density of the candidate, of the planet that we're talking about. So, for example, a lot of objects have been identified that are called hot Jupiters. You may have heard this term before, and what it relates to is an exoplanet found orbiting a host star, and this exoplanet seems to be very much like our planet Jupiter. Very, very big, but mostly gaseous in composition, and so with a very low density. Hot because the planet happens to orbit very close to its star. So here we have a planet that's too big and way too hot to support a liquid water type environment.
And that star, I presume, has to be pretty stable in terms of its output.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We're really lucky here in our solar system that we live with a very stable star. Often we think of our star as being somewhat ordinary. It's not the biggest and the brightest. It's not the most intense star. But that's really important for the development of life. We're creating an atmosphere that's stable enough for that because we have the right star with our planet at the right position relative to our star to be in the zone where water can exist as a liquid. But the stability comes in two ways. Number one, the star isn't so energetic. If our star were much more energetic, a much more significant star, it would be way too hot. And I don't mean in temperature. I mean in terms of radiation. We'd have too much ultraviolet radiation for life to have developed on this planet. So there are all kinds of implications about all the different little factors that make a planet a planet or make a planet like ours that have to be taken into consideration when we throw around that term, Earth-like.
And we are also beneficiaries of this particular solar system where the outer planets serve as a kind of barrier, as it were.
Oh my gosh, we're so fortunate. We often have this idea in our mind that the solar system evolved just as we see it today, but that certainly is not the case. We know that dynamic activity in the solar system's early history caused the shuffling of planets all around the solar system. The protective effect of the gas giant planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, was such that they absorbed a lot of the impactors that could have come into the inner portion of the solar system where we are and destroyed the possibility for the development of life on our planet, or even the environment where life could have developed as we see on Mars and maybe even Venus because of the great impacts that could have taken place.
And yet, prevailing theory holds that almost all stars have planets rotating around them, and with an almost infinite sample size, is it a matter of when rather than if we'll find a suitable planet?
Well, that alone says, you know, the probability that there's some place that has some kind of environment that's conducive to life of some sort is really very high.
What do you mean by of some sort?
Does it have to look like us? Does it have to be carbon-based? We're not sure of that at all. So there could be many other possibilities. We have to also train ourselves to be able to recognize other kinds of life, if you will.
Well, why don't we summon those thoughts and possibilities as we head out of doors this week with clear skies? What's available to be seen in the night sky?
We have a perfect opportunity to see some of those giant protector planets, Jupiter and Saturn, gleaming so brightly in the south-southwestern sky after sunset for most of the evening, are the showpiece planets of our solar system. But then if we just look toward the moon as it's growing, waxing this week, new moon is today, as we watch it over the next few days, as it emerges in the evening sky after sunset, we can take a look with binoculars and see some of the impact craters that mark those impactors that we didn't get hit with.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.